Customarily, we usually stand in reverence to the Word of God. And so I'd like to ask that we all please stand so that we can read the Word of God, and we'll get right into our text this morning. Again, our text is coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. We have it on the board for those who are would like to just open up their Word and open up those Bibles. I ask that you do so. The Word says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we have felt that we have received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessings granted us through the prayers of many." Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for being a comforter, oh God. We thank you for providing comfort to us, oh God, that essentially no one else can provide, oh God. Oh God, I'm just asking that you use whatever that we experience, oh God, to your glory, oh God. Allow us to be in positions to comfort those who certainly need it, oh Heavenly Father. It was mentioned this morning that there may be some who've experienced death within family, oh God. And right now, I know that they can use a comforter, oh Heavenly Father. So I'm asking that you comfort them right now, oh God. Comfort that family, oh God. Comfort those that need comforting right now, oh God, in the name of Jesus, oh God. And do what only you can do. It's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, these last couple weeks, you know, Pastor Willie had been talking about running this race. And I think one of the things that he had made mention of is making sure that as you're running the race, you're not concerned about coming in first place. You're concerned about finishing the race. You all recall that? Yeah, I recall that. The one thing I know for certain is that if we're all running this race, sometimes we get discouraged along the way. How many of y'all have ever been discouraged in this thing called life? How many of y'all just, you know, anybody ever had that week where you just like, oh, my God, is it ever going in? You know, and I think sometimes when you listen to the people, especially those who are a little older, they're just looking up at the sky and say, what you looking at? We waiting on that big crowd. We waiting on the trumpets to sound. We waiting on Jesus to come back, right? I get it. I'd be like, well, Lord, I don't know. But, you know, if it's time, then it's time. But you go through so much, you're just like, Lord, man, what else now? Could there be anything else that we're dealing with, right? And so I just kind of personally had one of those weeks, everybody. It was just one of them weeks where it's like, Lord, I mean, come on Sunday. In fact, come on Monday, because I know then I can feel like I'm starting all over fresh again. But I'm so glad that God is our comfort in the times of trouble. And that would be the title of this message today. God is our comfort in times of trouble. Now, Paul wrote these letters to the Church of Corinth in response to several problems. One, they failed to live up to the gospel. Now, obviously, we know that he wrote 2 Corinthians. He wrote 1 Corinthians as well. And there are some other references that Paul had made throughout the epistles and things that we'll make mention today. Now, about the same time, Paul had also faced a lot of great difficulties in Ephesus. Paul was at a point, you know, the trip that he had made was so bad that Paul got to a point in his life where he said, you know what, man, I made up my mind. I ain't never coming back to see y'all. You ever been that mad at somebody? You're just like, you know what, I'm done with this. I ain't coming back over. I've been trying to teach you all the gospel. I've been preaching to you, and I'm coming to see you, and this is what I get. Paul, he said that. He said that. He said, look, this is a painful visit, and I ain't never coming back. Paul, he was so saddled with this mental state that he was in. Why was he in this state? He had just sent Timothy, and it's like he get to the place, and then his most trusted people, they wasn't even there. Paul got a lot of issues right now. He's got a lot of stuff going on. I got all these problems, you know, and then at the same time, I go here, and this is what I get. And I'm so upset right now. I can't believe that I'm seeing what I'm seeing. I can't believe I'm hearing what I'm hearing. And I get there, and this is what I get. Now my mental is starting to mess with me. My emotional is beginning to... I'm beginning to wonder, man, what is this thing all about? What is going on with this church? But see, I'm so glad that even when we got all these issues, don't you all glad that when things are seemingly all bad, something or somebody sends you some good news? Ain't you all glad about that? It seems like, man, just when things couldn't get worse, it was like, man, they did. But then all of a sudden, there was some good news. So Titus had informed Paul. He said, hey, look, the church is responding to the gospel. They're responding. They're repenting, and they're starting to listen to what you are saying. Paul was at best discouraged, and at worst, he was depressed. At best, he was discouraged, and at worst, he was depressed. Remember, he said, look, our flesh had no rest, and I was troubled on every side. Remember he said that? Troubled on every side. Man. But I believe that Paul understood that it was so much more that the church had to do. And there had to be a commitment. There had to be a commitment from the church. You know, now all these events and circumstances caused Paul to deeply reflect on what it means to follow Christ. A lot of y'all feel like you're suffering, but if the suffering is of your own accord and you're not suffering for the sake of the gospel, you need to question the type of suffering that you're enduring. So 2 points I want to make today. One, I want to look at the reality of God's comfort. There's a reality of God's comfort that exists, and I also want us to look at the reliance on God's strength. The reality of God's comfort and the relying on God's strength. Now, I want us to see how Paul describes God despite having problems to deal with. Whenever you notice, for those who are familiar with your word, most times when Paul writes his letter, he always starts by giving thanks unto God. He always starts his letters by giving thanks, regardless of what he had going on. Regardless of whatever issues that are in front of him, regardless of what exists at the time, in spite of the thorn in his side, in spite of everything else that he was troubled with, he always began giving thanks to God. But it doesn't take away the fact that he was discouraged. It doesn't take that away. It seems like discouragement, it seems like it attacks the successful more than the unsuccessful. And the reason I say that is because the greater in God that we come, the further down it takes to fall. Y'all notice that? The greater we become in God, the further it is to fall. And I noticed that with Christians. I need you to understand that Paul had all these issues. But we read the Bible and we think because Paul wrote a certain percentage of the New Testament that he just had it going on. And if I could somehow be this super spiritual saint like Paul, I would be okay. But I need you to understand Paul was human just like us. Now, the Bible doesn't particularly talk about what it is that he had, but it was an issue. All of us have thorns too. We got issues that we have to deal with. And so just like Paul, who's able to write these letters from a prison state, we have to be able to persevere and keep pressing on in spite of the things that exist. Now, Paul could have escaped these burdens, everybody. You know, sometimes when you're going through some things in life, it's easy to just walk away from it, right? But there are some things that the Bible tells us that got to my attention. And the first thing is that he had a call from God. He had a call. Look, here's what I'm saying. Paul, as we can see, was chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. What am I saying here? I know that sometimes your kids are going to do certain things. I know that sometimes there are going to be people within the church that don't agree with your position. I know there are going to be times when things just don't seem to be right. I know that there are going to be times when things just make you say, you know what, I want to get up, pack my stuff, and move on. But you need to understand that when you are called by God, then you have to accept these things. When you're called by God, it doesn't matter what your situation may be. It doesn't matter what the circumstance that exists. You are called by God, and therefore you have to endure these hardships. When you're called by God, you have to endure that. See, we can't just turn away. We can't say, well, God called me to something, and yeah, I'm going to turn away and just walk away from this thing. I don't put my children on blast, but my children are no different from any other person who has children. And when we consider what our children do, that essentially would make you want to withdraw. When you consider that when you're not in agreement with people on your workplace or at your school or on your job, relatives, whatever, it'll make you essentially want to go away. But when you know that you've been called by God, you have to endure those things. You have to. You can't be in a position. He could have escaped it, but I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to run away. I know things are rough right now. But guess what? When the going gets tough, I'm just going to get a little tougher. I got to, because God called me to this. And then, when you consider the burdens that you have, you're self-concerned to help other people. So Alan one time said, we was in Sunday school, and he may recall this, but one time he said, hey, look here, sometimes you need to understand that what you're going through is not necessarily for you, but it's for the benefit of other people. So sometimes God is going to allow you to go and experience certain things, not just because he wants you to experience it, but because your experience is going to allow you to help minister to someone else. Does that make sense? And so if I run away from these opportunities and these hardships that exist, how am I ever in a position to help that other person if I ran away from the very thing that was before me? So now instead of one person needing help, now there are two individuals out there who don't know essentially what to do and how to deal with it because I walked away from what I knew God had called me to. I want you to consider that. Paul had a secret of victory, everybody. He had a secret of victory. I want us to understand that when we find ourselves discouraged and ready to quit, we need to get the attention off ourselves and focus it on God. Because how many times have you said, Lord, I can't do this no more. Lord, I wish I could do this. Lord, I wish I could do. And it's always, Lord, I. When are you going to say, Lord, I need you to help me with this? Lord, I want you to take over this thing. You fight the battle for me. That's what happens. We got to get the focus off ourselves. And we have to begin to focus on God. I can't tell you nothing that I hadn't experienced. I can't tell you nothing that I'm not going through right now. We talked about practice of what you preach. Guess what? I had to be the first one to get to that place of understanding. I have to be. I just know this. Paul is telling us how we can find encouragement in God in spite of the issues that we got going on. He's telling us what to do. He says, first of all, you got to remember who God is to you. And if God is a comforter to you, then you know who God is. If God is your everything, if God is the one that allowed you to be in the situation that you find yourself in the first place, if God is the one that can deliver you from that situation, if God is ultimately who he says, or we know who he is, but if he is to you what you say he is, then guess what? You're going to be able to remember who he is. And not only that, you're going to be able to remember what God does for you. How many of you just glory in God when you think about all the things that God has done for you? Look at your life right now. Look at your life yesterday. Look at the years before. And you think about, some of you ain't got to look that far back. Somebody said, well, first of all, he woke me up this morning. And the fact that he did that, that's God right there. I ain't got to look much further. I don't have to have a whole lot of experience. But I'm sick and tired of hurting. But the one thing I can do is find encouragement in God by, one, remembering who he is, and then also remembering what he does. And last but not least, I can remember what God does through me. God is using us, everybody. He's using the difficulties that we have. He's using our hardships so that when we go onto the world, we can preach that gospel to people. And they'll be so convinced, man, what kind of God do they serve that in spite of these hardships that you got going on, they can still press forward and keep moving on. Amen. Somebody said, I'm tired of just hanging in there. But somebody this morning said, look, we're going to persevere. We're going to persevere. Now, it takes a while to get to that point. But in order to get to that point, we have to come to a realization that God is who he is. And he can do for us. And that we remember what he does through us. How many of you are glad that God just uses you to do his will? And don't that just make you please? You're just like, man, Lord, you chose me? Oh, me? The old sinner? The one that did this and did that? That's the kind of God that we serve, everybody. That's why I love him so much. You know, now, again, we're dealing with the comfort in times of trouble. So the core of the gospel is the truth that those that belong to Christ have been united with Christ. Those who belong to Christ have been united with Christ. Now, that means that we can all enjoy the blessings of Christ, supreme rule. How many of y'all enjoy the blessings? See, it's all good when God is good to you, right? When God is good and he got that good job and you got some new clothes and you got all the stuff that you want and, you know, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm a saint. I'm a super saint, you know. I'm happy because God is who he is and I'm just walking with him and everything is all good. You know, I can enjoy the blessings of Christ, supreme rule. The fact that I know that God is sovereign over everything, that makes me happy. That makes me happy in spite of the governmental setup, in spite of the things that exist. We know that God is sovereign over everything. How many of y'all are pleased with that? Yeah, yeah. But see, this is where the Christians fall off, though. See, we need to understand that being united with Christ also means that we have to share in his sufferings. And right now, we're not teaching that to our Christians. We're teaching them, God is going to give you this. God is going to bless you with this material stuff. God is going to make, your life is just going to be happy. Everything, you're never going to have any issues in life. The only reason why you're sick is because you don't have faith. The only reason why you got these issues is because obviously you must have done something wrong. But the Bible makes it clear that when we belong to Christ, not only will we relish in his glory, we're going to suffer with him as well. That's what the Bible teaches. But nobody wants to suffer. Nobody wants to get to that point. See, you can't pick and choose. You can't go to a buffet and say, well, you know, I just want a little bit of piece of this and I just give me a little sprinkle of that. No, you got to take the whole thing. You truly want to follow Christ? You got to take it all. You can't just be selective about the things in Christianity. And so suffering is going to be part of it, everyone. It's going to be part of it. I need us to understand that, look, suffering does not mean that God has abandoned us. I get discouraged sometimes because every time the Christian goes through something, the first thing they say, Lord, why did you leave me? Lord, how could you do this to me? Lord, how could you allow this to happen to me? Lord, can't you just take this thing away? Look, first of all, you need to understand that if the Bible teaches us that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, how can we justify him abandoning us? He said he'll never leave us, and he said he'll never forsake us. So he's always there. So it must be something else going on. And I believe that these are the signs that we truly belong to Christ, and I'm talking about the Christ who died on the cross, not that false Christ that people were teaching. We talked about this morning. I'm talking about that Christ where he rose up with all power in his hand. I'm talking about the power that can make you change from your unhappy state to a state of being fulfilled and happy in God, because now you recognize that this suffering is all a part of your walk. How many of you are glad that you have to suffer? Now, I don't mean to say that, you know what, Lord, sign me up. Sign me up for all the suffering I can take. I'm not saying that either. But what I'm saying is that that's part of what we have to experience, everybody. That's part of what goes on there. So the solace that they have is that he would give them the endurance that they need to undergo the suffering with the right mindset. And see, it's nothing like when you know that you're going through something. And guess what? You all are Christians, and you've been on your job, and you see how your coworkers who are not saved, how they deal with their situations. And do they deal with it the same way you deal with it as a Christian? Sometimes no. They cuss, and they fuss, and they do all kind of stuff, and they wish life was whatever. But you as a Christian say, well, Lord, thank you anyhow. Lord, in spite of what I got going on, I thank you anyway. Because I know that if I'm following you, I must be doing something right. If you're suffering because you're trying to preach the gospel to somebody and they don't want to hear it, then guess what? You're doing right. If you're at a place because of your convictions to truly follow God and your family don't want to have nothing else to do with you, then guess what? I know that it hurts. I know that doesn't feel good. I know that's not an ideal situation, but you are now suffering for Christ's sake. Matter of fact, you're suffering for righteousness' sake. And that you should be happy about. So if my relatives who are unsaved don't want to have nothing to do with me, guess what? Take that up with God. Because I'm going to follow him. And if that's part of the suffering I have to deal with, then guess what? I'm so glad I got a church family. I'm so glad I got a church family. Because we speak the same language. I know we get mad at each other sometimes. I know sometimes somebody said, I can't stand them. And I know that's not the proper attitude to have. But if you're human, those things exist. But we're going to allow God to work that out in us. And we're going to allow God to use that word is going to manifest and it's going to transform our way of thinking. That's why we can have the right kind of mindset. When we're experiencing certain things, we don't have to go about it the way that we used to do or the way we would have done or the way that we could have done, but yet the way that the Bible teaches us we should do it. Does that make sense? So by using himself as an example, the apostle encouraged the readers to consider the trials as an opportunity to gain insight. Have you ever looked at what you were going through and asked yourself, Lord, why is it that I'm experiencing this? Have you ever asked God to and give you insight as to why you're going through what you're going through? Or are you always like, Lord, just take this away? Sometimes when you're going through stuff, you need to ask God, why is it that he wants you to go through what he's going through? Remember the scripture say, consider my servant Job. You know, remember that? Yeah, you would only know that if you read the scripture. And if you read the scripture, you'll know how to endure these things that come about. God is going to do something in your life, and you have to get to a point of recognizing, what can I do to learn from this? What are you trying to teach me, O Lord? What kind of wisdom are you going to impart on me? I need to be able to use this as an opportunity. I just want to gain insight. That's all I want to do. That's truly all I want to do. Now, I look at people who are hurting. You notice that people who hurt, they don't seek out people who have trouble-free lives. Think about it. The person that's hurting, they always want to reach out to somebody who they know can relate to them, or somebody who's been there before and somebody who's done that before, because they have the experience to help them get through what they were going through. What good is it for me to go to you about something that you don't know nothing about? Think about it. When they're reaching out to you, they're reaching out because they want you to help, but you can't just turn a blind eye to that. You got to be in a position to help them, because that's what the word says, to comfort them. The same way God comforted you. The same way God comforted me. The same way he comforted us all. We have to be in that position. They're not going to go look for somebody who just don't have no frame of reference for what they're going through. But guess what? They want somebody who can empathize with their hurt. Not somebody to say, well, the reason why you experience this is because of what you've done. And you ain't going to never be right because of what you're doing. People don't need that in their lives. And Tamika talked earlier today about grace. Guess what? When you try to beat people upside the head with the scripture, that's not the kind of grace that we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of grace where you can go to God and say, you know what? I understand what you're going through. I know that it hurts right now. I get it. The reason why I understand it is because I've been there before too. So allow me to help you while you're walking through this thing called life. And because I've been there before, won't you come alongside me and I can show you through God how we can get through this thing. I'm going to show you how we can endure. That's what the Bible teaches us. See, some people are waiting for something to come about. No, we have to be in a position that even if you're not going through something right now, you need to be the comforter to somebody else. And that's one of our problems. We're always waiting to be comforted, but nobody wants to be the comforter. Everybody wants everybody else. Everybody wants people to do stuff for me, but when am I going to say, you know what? I need to go and do something for somebody else. I need to pick up the phone and call somebody because I know they're having a hard time right now. I can look at their language and see that something is kind of off right now. I can look at your behavior and tell that, wait a minute, something's just not registering right now. I can look at when you don't come to church because we're such a small church. I mean, I think we all know when one of us is not here. Right? That's the disadvantage of a small church. We all know when you're not here. So be careful. We're watching. Somebody's watching. But you understand what I'm saying? We have to position ourselves to be that way. And I believe that being consoled by God will attract people who have felt pains in ways that's similar to ours. Because when a person hears a testimony and they hear how God was able to comfort you in that time and then they experience that same thing, they're going to need to know, man, how? First of all, I'm coming straight to you because you've been there, done that. You've been there and done that. And I'm not coming to you just because you're older. I'm not coming to you just because, you know, you look a certain kind of way. I'm watching how you walk this thing out. Oh, you best believe we're looking. We're looking. There are people who are older than me in this particular body that I watch, not to be critical about behavior, but because you have amiable qualities that I want to have. You have things about yourself that I say, man, I want a little bit of that, and I want a little bit of this. And for that person with grace, I want a whole bunch of that. That's what God is teaching us, everybody. So now I want to deal with the reliance on God's strength. Paul was heavily burdened. I'll ask the question again. Have you all ever been heavily burdened? Heavily burdened. Yeah. So Paul revealed that God allowed this distressing situation so that his ambassadors would not depend on their confidence in themselves. Instead, they were to place their trust in God, who alone had the ability to preserve their lives. God is letting us know, look here, you can't fix this situation. You got some serious issues. In fact, first of all, you wouldn't need comforting if you could get yourself out of the situation. You wouldn't have got yourself in that situation to begin with. Right? That's why we need a deliverer. God is telling us there's no medication that's going to change you. Now, I'm saying you obviously at sometimes do need to take meds. We get that piece. But God is trying to get you to understand that I don't care if you go see some psychologist and give you some kind of worldly viewpoint. He's trying to let you know that when you get done with all your regular means of doing stuff, guess what? You cannot put confidence in yourself and or man, but yet you have to rely on me and my ability to make things change in your life. How many of y'all been in situations where you just said this? This is what you said. Have you said that before? Have you felt that before? I didn't want to be audible because sometimes we know the words that we say are probably not words that we want other people to hear, right? I'm being real with you. But then we sit down in this place and we say, man, I'm sick of this. I don't even know what else I'm going to do. I don't figure this thing. I'm ready to take my own life. I'm ready to take my life because I'm tired of this. I can't do this no more. My life is too rough. You don't understand what I'm going through. You look at my situation and you think, oh, man, it can't be that bad. You look at my situation and say, well, when I went through the same thing you went through, I just stood up like a man and I handled mine. Somebody looked at Donna and said, girl, put your big girl panties on and make sure you do what you got to do. But guess what? That doesn't work all the time. That doesn't work all the time. Sometimes you got to get something else. First of all the time we know that we need to rely on God. We need to know that. So sometimes the suffering is beyond the limits of natural strength. I don't care how big and strong you are, Lay. God has an ability to break you down. He'll break you down because he needs you to understand that you need to rely on him. Look, you may have heard somebody say, but God won't give you more than you can bear. That's not true. God will give you more than you can bear so that you can realize that you cannot handle it on your own and that he gives it so that it will drive you to him. God is going to give you more than you can handle. He's going to do that. The reason he's going to do that because he wants you to know that you're going to have to get to a place of trusting in him. Hold on. Matter of fact, let me find it. I think it's in Acts. I think it's in Acts chapter 9. Let me see if I can find it. Acts chapter 9. You know, a lot of times we say a lot of things in this Christian walk and they sound good and it, you know, these cliches. Well, you know, Lord, God knows he ain't gonna give you more than you can bear. But hold on, here it is right here. Acts chapter 9, verse 15. It says, but the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings of the children of Israel. Verse 16, for I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. God said, look here, when I call you to something, you're going to have it. You're going to have some problems. But in spite of these problems, I need you to go. I need you to continue to do what you got to do. I need you to be the instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles. It's not just about trying to preach somebody the death, burial, and resurrection, because once you get that point, now what's going to come after that? God is still using you to bring glory to his name. Nobody's going to follow a Christian that every time you got something going on, you want to tend to run away and fall off and faint and do all that kind of stuff. If the power of God is supposed to be in you, then when can you stand up and say, you know what, even though there's a storm right now, I cannot be moved. I'm like a tree next to that river. I'm just unshakable. You can't move me. I'm going to persevere through this thing. I know that's hard sometimes, but this is what God wants for us in our lives. So the next person say, well, God ain't going to give you more than he bring. Yes, he will. That's why you're feeling bad. That's why you feel the way that you feel. Because you reached the point where you just couldn't take it no more. Now, the moment you get to that place where you can't take it no more, now you have to establish, well, Lord, I need your help. But what I want you to do is get to the point is before you get to that place, you begin to call and rely on God. Don't wait until you think that you can handle it or can't handle it anymore to call on God. You call on him in the beginning and watch what he does for you. So God knows that we experience discouragement. He knows that. God knows that. He knows that we have all kinds of setbacks. I don't have to ask a question, but if I ask the question, how many of you ever felt like you took two steps forward and only take four steps back? I'm sure most hands will go up. But God addresses his people's suffering. And he's going to do it, but he's not going to always take the pain away, everybody. He's not going to, He's not going to remove that situation that caused you to feel the way you feel. You know, God is going to give you the encouragement that you need and that sustaining strength that you need. And what I mean by that is God, when he knows that you need what you need, he's going to give you a word, or he's going to have somebody call your phone, and you're going to live that conversation saying, man, I don't know how you knew, but I needed that. That's the kind of God that we serve. Just in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your circumstance, God is going to send somebody your way that's going to help you out. And they ain't going to even know that you needed that. They just know that they're being used by God. And they're going to pick up the phone and call you. And you're going to lead a conversation like, hey, man, you've been listening to my conversation. You know, they ain't going to know. But that's what God does. Now, God's deliverance was in response to Paul's faith, as well as the faith of all the people that were praying. How many of you know that God answers prayers? So when you see the people going through, don't encourage more suffering. Begin to liaison on their behalf. Begin to speak to God on their behalf. Lord, you know exactly what they need. Lord, I need you to touch them and comfort them in ways that my words won't touch them or comfort them. Lord, I need you to intervene right now because I've ran out of words to say. I don't know what else I can physically do. But you know, Lord, that person needs us right now. And if we're not careful, we're going to lose one of our members to our body because we're not there providing the comfort that is necessary for them. And that's a responsibility that's on us. The fact that the Lord graciously responds to prayers of his people should motivate us to continually pray for others who are enduring hardships. So instead of praying that, Lord, when two or three are together and gather in your name, you dwell in the midst, and therefore I know that we're getting ready to pray for this new car. I can get me a new car because I sure need some new wheels. Begin to change some of those prayers into, Lord, you know exactly what our church stands in need of. You know the people who are not here because they are dealing with issues that are so difficult that they feel ashamed and they want to stay away. But Lord, I need you to restore them. Lord, I need you to give them the endurance that they need to persevere and keep it moving throughout this hardship that they got going on. Because if you don't, God, I may lose this person. If I lose this person, I'm going to feel like it was something that I didn't do. So, Lord, please use me. Use all of us to do what we have to do that's essential for this body. Those are the things that need to be done. Whatever the problem that God people face, in the long run, God's comfort is greater. God is greater than any circumstance that you're going through, everybody. Any situation that you find yourself, God is greater than. There's nothing that, first of all, the Bible teaches that there's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing too hard. God is an omnipotent God. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. God is everything. I need you to understand that God will sometimes deliver us from our trials, and at other times he'll deliver us right in it. So sometimes when you're sitting there asking God to take this mess away from me, God is saying, you know what, I can deliver you right in your mess. That's what he's telling you. He's telling us that, look here, don't think that you got to be taken out of this situation in order to have things essentially go right. God can orchestrate the things in your life because he is all powerful and he is sovereign. And Romans 8:28 doesn't lie to us. And he tells us that all things work together. So the God that we serve don't have to remove us from the hardship, but he can give us the endurance to keep pressing on while we're in the hardship. And when we finally come out of the hardship, I think we'll be forever grateful for what we've experienced. How many of y'all believe that? I need it for us to, last but not least, understand that God is shaping us to comfort people who have experiences just like ours. God is equipping us right now. When you look at your life and you look at everything that you've gone through, God is going to use those experiences so that you, in essence, can be in a position to help somebody else. Don't think that what you're going through is just for yourself. In fact, Christ didn't die for himself. He did that for everybody else. When he died, he didn't die for himself. He did that for everybody else. That experience alone was not for him. So the experiences that you have, while they may be hurtful, while they may have caused setbacks, while they may have been difficult, guess what? The reality is that God will use that. You don't know who he's going to use it with. You don't know how he's going to use it. You don't know when he's going to use it. But he's going to use it. And you're going to sit back, man, I can't believe it. And all you can do at that point is say, well, thank you, Lord. Because the person that you're going to help is going to come alongside you and you're going to change their life. Because you can give a couple words. I love to hear testimonies where they say, I was getting ready to kill myself this morning, but you sang that song or you said that gospel and saved my life. That's real. That's real. You hear something and it changes a person's whole life. Now imagine if you didn't say what you said. Don't say mean and hurtful things that will cause them to hurt themselves. Say the things that will get them to understand that you love them. Understand where they are so that now we can help bring change in their lives. I'm talking to you too, children. I'm talking to you too. Because you're going to experience some things in life. You all are endeavoring high school and middle school and grade school and all that. And guess what? It's going to get worse. And worse and worse because we are in a fallen world. But we cannot just escape this thing. I love when the Bible teaches us that just because we're in this world don't mean that we're of this world. And parents, it's our responsibility to make sure we impart that to our children. That's why I get excited when I see all the little kids coming in here. I get excited about that because guess what? We're going to get old. You may not feel like it, but we're going to get old. You feel like it? Amen. I'm just so glad that in the times of trouble, God can comfort us. I'm so glad of that. I'm so glad that when we stand in need of something, there are some people who I know that I can either pick up the phone and call them, or if I'm looking at my phone because it's on silent, I know that I'm the recipient of their phone calls and their texts because you all love me. And if you don't love me, you better start because I'm going to need you. I'm going to need you in my times of despair. I'm going to need you in my times of anguish. Paul went to the place where he was on his way traveling to and got there. And guess what? The two people that he was most entrusted to wasn't there. Don't you all know what that feels like when you pick up the phone and call somebody or you need somebody and they're not there for you? You got a serious issue going on and all you really need is to connect with somebody and you try to make that connection and they're not there for you. You know how that feel? It makes the situation worse. But God is so good. Let us pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you today, oh God. I thank you for allowing us to understand what it is that you want for us, oh God. Understand what it means to truly follow you, oh God. I'm so glad that our situations, oh God, are frail in comparison to the power that that's in you, O God, the power that will cause us to transform our lives, O Heavenly Father. Now I just ask that we be obedient to the word, O God, that we can listen to those who have similar experiences, O God, so that we may learn from them, O Heavenly Father. And then for those of us who have experiences who are now in a position to share, O God, that we can share those experiences that will be edifying to the body, O God, that will cause serious growth and development to those people, O God, who are the recipients of the word, O God. I just thank you and I love you so much. I just ask that if there's anybody, O God, who stands in need of your comfort right now, O God, whether they believe it or not, O Heavenly Father, I ask that you intervene right now, O God. Go up and down each and every aisle this morning, O God. Touch each and each heart, O God. Touch each mind right now. Touch each body right now, O God. Touch those who are not here, O God. Bless those right now who are down in Florida, oh God, and dealing with all this weather, oh God, and been without power, oh God. Let them know that although they don't have electricity, oh God, they still have the power that is within you, oh Heavenly Father, and that you can do all things, oh gracious God. Comfort them right now, oh God, for they don't know what tomorrow may bring, oh Heavenly Father, even as we don't, oh God, but we're still going to follow you anyhow, oh God. We thank you, and we love you, and we praise you now in Jesus' name. Amen.